God, we are just here. We are just thankful, God, that you have given us another year here. That, Father, you are continuing to show us things, lead us, train us, guide us. And by your leading, Father, we will continue to bring honor to you and your Son through our lives. God, I pray that each one here today will hear and receive your word today. And that, Lord, they will be filled, they will be encouraged, Father. And most importantly, God, they will receive what it is you are saying to them through your word today and implant it into their hearts so that they can continue to impart it through their lives. So, Father, we know what your word does, and we know that it will accomplish that, what it is set out to do. And so we release your word upon your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 She's not feeling well, Ryan, so if you want to do anything, you can keep her in prayer. And Joel, too. Amen? Joel, same thing. Yeah, both of them not feeling well. Yeah, they shared, and apparently that didn't benefit them in a positive way. So, Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year. So, I want to start today off in this new year and this message today with just kind of a little bit of a ping back. Because they didn't get to preach on Christmas. Because we had our kids come out and do an awesome play for us and everything, which is really fun and enjoyable. Yeah, I did preach the previous week before then on Christmas. But I want to ping back to Christmas real quick because I want us to remember something important about Christmas and the birth of Christ. When he was born, or when he was going to be born, he was told, or I should say Joseph and Mary were told via Michael, angel, that they were going to have this child. But one specific thing that was really important that I really want to just bring back to our remembrance is the name that he was given. What was the name that was given? Emmanuel, God with us, right? That's what Emmanuel stands for. It stands for God is with us, or God with us. And what God showed me in that, going through the holidays, is something that has to do with that aspect of Christ, because that same Christ, born in the manger, Emmanuel, God with us, is the same Jesus that now resides inside each and every one of you. Amen? That is how he is still with us. He now dwells within you and I. Amen? But the point of what he has done and the reason this is in existence, the reason this plan, this purpose God has, is not just a message of salvation for you to just sit back idly and wait for God to take you home. That's not the reason he's with you. That's not the purpose he has. There's something greater that goes beyond that simple point that normally every Christian person comes into existence and knowledge of Jesus is receiving, is that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, but they really hold on to that Savior part. Amen? But the purpose that Jesus came into this world, paid for all of our sins, died on the cross, poured out his blood upon the mercy seat, came back and conquered death. Amen? Is so that he could not just fulfill the prophecies and the scriptures, but so that he could continue his ministry through each and every one of us. That is what this is all about. That's what being a son and daughter of God through Christ means. Amen? It's not just to sit around. Something that Jesus started, we are now set on a mission from God to finish. And that is our purpose. And the world is waiting for the sons and daughters, according to scripture, right? To rise up and meet that demand that Jesus set in the very beginning when he started his Galilean ministry. Here's the cool part about this. This message today, what God has prepared for you guys today. I could honestly sit there and pull out from every single book of the Bible which would have Steve going crazy back there with scriptures to have to highlight every single time. And we would be here for quite a while going through them all. But this is just a little taste, a sample of something God showed me that you guys can go explore and really exhaust. And I dare you to try to put to measure what God meant when he brought Jesus, our Lord and Savior, into this world, a baby in a manger named Emmanuel, God with us. What that really means when we say God is with us. Because God is with you. God is with you. Amen? He is with you. And there is something rich that maybe you take for granted that you don't understand why that is, the purpose behind it, and the point of all of it, and why it's so absolutely immense and powerful to know that the God, creator of the universe and all things in creation, is with you. He's with you. And here's the thing that's awesome about God. God does this in a way that goes, you might doubt what I just said. Maybe you don't feel that. Maybe you don't buy into that so much. There are days where you feel kind of alone and left out on a ledge. Maybe there are days where you're struggling really hard, right? How many people struggled with depression? What is that like? Okay. That feeling of being alone, not nobody there, right? But if God's with you, are you ever alone? But you feel that way, don't you? So here's what's awesome. As we lay out today and we go through this, God gave us a plan for last year, and that plan was what? Correction. Okay? How many people like getting beat up every day on Sunday? How many people are looking forward to not having that happen this year? Well, good news. That may not be entirely the plan. I can't guarantee there won't be some days. I really can't. I'm not him. I only know this much about God's plan, but he gives me a lot of it as the days move on, and I just do my job, and hopefully I do a good enough job to represent that message well. But we went through a whole year of correction, and sometimes correction's hard for us to understand because we don't like discipline and correction because, well, we might have had tough parents or whatever, but generally we have a bad idea and understanding of what correction is. But the point of why we went through this entire year of correction was so that we could respond to the commands that God gives us without fear of correction. Because what does everybody stop in their tracks and not do and move forward when God says? Because they're afraid they're going to mess up and they're going to get corrected. And that smack from God is going to be so abrupt, so disabling, so debilitating, so uplifting in my life that it's going to wreck you. I cannot tell you that you all are sitting here today and you went through an entire year of correction from God and you're not dead. So what does that mean? His correction is not going to kill you. You will survive. Not only that, but you have become better because of his correction. Huh. Wow, that's crazy. It actually is not a negative thing. It's actually a positive thing. And what the enemy has done is he has made the correction measures of God something to be feared so that you will not move in the things of God because you're afraid of the correction. When you have no reason to fear because the person who is giving the command will also give the correction and he has no desire for you to be out of commission by his correction. Because why does that benefit him? If he knocks you down with his correction, is he moving you any closer to the goals that he set for you? No, he's setting you back. Well, that seems very counterintuitive from an omnipotent God. That's why I turn around and go, no, my God's smarter than that. My God's way more intelligent than that. His correction is going to elevate and motivate and move me closer to the goal, not set me backwards. And here we had a whole year of correction and everybody's been moved further away? No, closer to the things that God wants to do for their lives. more successes, more praise reports, more things that God has opened up, more doors, more disciplines, more order. That's good. That's not bad, church. That's a good thing. Amen? But when you think about the enemy and the way he thinks, why would he not change his plans if they work? If I can turn around and I can manipulate fear into your life in a way that makes you fear the hand of the person who loves you and cares about you and has plans for you to prosper you, not to harm you, and yet you think that the correction that he will give will harm you and not prosper you, you stop doing things that he's told you to do. Now let's take a little history exam. How successful has the church been doing things that God has told them to do? Seems like a little bit of mud in the tires, as they say down south, right? Not getting very much traction. But it's paralyzed us. And many believers are still in this very state of paralyzation, right? What happens? They take an insulated approach to their faith, which makes them not impactful to the commission of Christ. Furthermore, the enemy weaponizes fear and makes us fearful of God's actual judgment. Because what is the fear based off of? The fear is based off of a principle that is, if I have not done the things of God, I'm disobedient, therefore I'm in sin. And because I'm in sin, I'm no longer worthy, and therefore I'm not counted among those that he would bring. Whoa, how'd that happen? That sounds like a lie from the pit of hell, doesn't it? That somehow, because of one person's disobedience, you could be disqualified from all things? Where'd we get that from? Well, actually, that is scripture, right? But did Jesus not die for all sin and pay for all sin under the cross? Did that event happen before Christ, where the only rules for judgment were under the rules and the laws that governed the people? Yeah, they were. Did Jesus not come to fulfill the law? All of it? Do you see? We're losing sight of things because we're actually bringing ourselves to a place or a point because the enemy is lying to us and buying us into a spot that goes, here's where you are. You exist in a time before Christ had come and redeemed your life. And you're not living from a position where not only have you been redeemed, but he's still with you, as we sung today, through the fire. Through all the hardships, through all the tough times, wherever you may be, whatever mess ups you might make, he's still there. Does that still require something on our end? Absolutely. We have to surrender to those things. We have to surrender to Christ. We have to ask for forgiveness. We have to have that blood of Jesus poured over upon us to renew us and redeem us. But how much grace and how much mercy is out there for you? Oh, well, I'm not worthy of that much grace or that much mercy. That's not yours to decide. But something God showed me in 1 Corinthians, and we'll go right from here, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 32. It's a real brief one, but something about God's judgment that we might not recognize because, well, how many people are afraid of God's judgment? Go ahead, John. You can raise your hand. It's okay. I'm not judging you, but it's not unheard of. People are afraid of God's judgment mainly because they will think in their minds that there's something somewhere along the course of their life that they did that disqualifies them, and that when the time comes and God will judge them, that they will be counted unworthy. Can't tell you how many times. Is something going on, Steve, with the back? Oh, okay. I mean, yeah, that's good. Everybody's got their Bibles. Thank God. Game plan here. That's okay. We can all operate with our Bibles today. Amen? It's like if the power went out. We still make it work. So, chapter 11, verse 32. Everybody there? One verse, and it says, "But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." I'm going to read it again so you can understand what God is saying, because it's not hard to misinterpret when this is his written word and this is for us. Amen? "But when we are judged," which means you will be judged, And you will be judged by God through his word. Amen. We are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. What does that mean to you? Judgment is not equal to condemnation. And furthermore, it is a good thing, not a bad thing. Because it's keeping you from being a part of the world. And that is where you don't want to be, because guess where you end up if you're a part of the world? That's where condemnation is. God's judgment is reserved for us to keep us from being into the world. I don't know about you, but I like that deal. I'll take that. I want to be judged by the word of God so that I don't somehow end up at a point where I'm going, oh, I'm in the world. Oh, this isn't good. And then the Lord comes and goes, hi, I'm here to take everybody home. Uh-oh. Would you rather be judged then? Or would you rather be judged before that happens? So that you're not here in this bad spot that you're in. Do you know that's available to you if you welcome it into your life? And you allow God's word to judge you rightly? And you allow his truth to penetrate deep into your heart and change you? It starts there. Amen? But Matthew 28, and this is where we're going to start technically. Matthew 28, 18 and 20. That was just a little side part, but this is the main verse for today. And it has to do with this purpose of God being with us. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus, after he had fulfilled the prophecies, he returns, he comes back, he's standing on the mount, and he's giving a short little brief sermon to the disciples and all who were with him. And he speaks to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. We have been released from fear so that we can move forward and be obedient to the command that Jesus gave to each and every one of us. And that command is to do what? To go. Preach the gospel. Amen? We're making disciples of the nations. How are we making disciples of the nations? Well, Jim, that means you're going to have to start getting some frequent flyer miles, right? Because you've got a lot of places to travel. Is it just on you? No, because Jesus died so that the one becomes many. Do you see the massive impact of Jesus fulfilling the prophecy, dying on the cross, having his blood poured out so that now partakers of Christ are not just one person, but are now many who call on the name of Jesus? That means I don't have to go. I can go, but I don't have to go to Haiti or to Jamaica or Peru or Guatemala or Russia or Ethiopia, right? But does that mean that the nations aren't to be witnessed to? No. We have a job to do. Amen? So we know that the message and the sharing message of salvation, the gospel message of salvation, needs to be done. That's part one. But here's the part I want to highlight. This is the key part. Scripture says, but we are to do something. What are we supposed to do? Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. We are to teach them to observe all that who commanded? That Jesus has given us to do. I want to point out that this is a very big, powerful word, because one of the things that happens here is that we believe that this teaching, right? Teaching people to observe all the things that God has commanded, that Christ has commanded, the things that we are to do, that teaching needs to be, hey, you need to go do what God said. Why aren't you doing what God said? You need to go do what God said. Why aren't you doing what God said? You need to do what God said. Why aren't you doing what God said? This is what the church has historically done. Tell the people of God, hey, this is what God said. You need to go do what God said. Well, pause for just a moment. I don't know about you. I came out of this type of church that did a lot of that, but I didn't see them doing any of it. How many people came out of a church that had a lot of talkers, but not a lot of walkers? And the hypocrisy of that is what led so many astray, because people are not looking for somebody to tell them what to do. They're looking for somebody to show them what to do. And the key word in this is what? Observe. How do you observe? Do you observe with your ears? You observe with your eyes. So if I'm supposed to teach them to observe, I need to show them how it's done, not just tell them how it's done. Amen? That's important. That's super important. Teaching as a leader means doing the works before the people. You're not just telling them, you're showing them. In this specific approach to demonstrate the ability to do what God has told us to do in faith, here's the best part. What did Jesus say? And lo, I am with you always. Why is this so important? Emmanuel, God with us. Why is this so important? You want to know why it's so important? Because you can't. I cannot teach you through an observatory manner through my life by me doing it. Because at the end of the day, if I'm doing it, who are you coming to see and observe what's being done? Are you observing what Jesus is doing, or are you observing what I'm doing? And what does that build your faith in? Does that build your faith in Jesus, or does that build your faith in me? What is that? No. What is that? God, say it louder. That's idolatry. That's idolatry. I love this man of God over here. He did a lot of things. He did a lot of things before me that I saw and witnessed with my own two eyes. Now, I was privy because I married his daughter, and so I got to see the inner working. So I got to see the good and the bad. Some of y'all just got to see the good. But you want to know something? There's integrity in that man of God, because he will say things, but he did them. He lived it. And so you didn't have to worry about it. You didn't have to worry about it. It was a life lived in obedience. But I don't look at him and go, that's because of his hard work. That has nothing to do with his hard work. It has to do with Christ's work in him. He sacrificed his will and his life and gave it up to Jesus and said, it's not my will be done, it's your will be done, and I will obey what you told me to do. And it hurt sometimes. It sucked a lot of the time. Because what we want to do is gratify the flesh. And when we're at battle and we're at war with something God tells us to do, what do? We hurl this thing halfway across the room, right? Because we didn't like it. That's one of the oldest things you told me. There's countless times he hurled his word across the room. I don't like what God's telling me. It doesn't matter if you don't like it. You still have to do it. And those times are not great, and those times are hard, yeah. But here's the point. At the end of the day, you are not in control of your life anymore, because you have been bought and paid for with a price, amen? You gave your life to Jesus. You told him, it is not good for me to continue to lead my life, because if I lead my life, I will lead it into destruction and chaos. And I know what that feels like. So I need a savior. I need somebody to rescue me out of the pit. I need somebody to break the chains. I need somebody to open the cage and let me out. Because if I continue to stay here, I'm going to rot. And I don't want that. And so we all come to Jesus for that reason. But here's the deal. Maybe you didn't understand the fine print at the bottom of the page when you signed it. But it really says at the bottom, it's no longer your will. It's no longer your will. He is Lord of all, or Lord not at all. Right? Stole that from you. Yeah. I stole it from somebody. I didn't steal it. I mean, I didn't own it. It's not mine. I stole it. I'm going to admit. Look, you're not going to hear me lying, okay? I'm not a liar. So, this is the key, because what is done in your life through faith in Jesus Christ cannot be produced or done by faith in you. You can't do it. Think about it. Think about the countless amount of times. This is how good God's word is today. I want you to really do a little self-examination for yourself today. Listen and hear what the Lord's saying, but look into yourself. This word's for you all. I already had my good time with this word. It's a great word. I love this word today. But I already had it. But now it's time for you guys to feast. Look at your year in the past, this 1 year that has gone by, and take a look and see the things that God has done for you in 1 year's time. You will be able to find at least one thing that you can honestly say, by no means, by any stretch of my physical, spiritual knowledge, testing, whatever I have in me to do, I could not have done that. It's not because of what I could do. It has nothing to do with what I could do. It had to do with me just believing God said he would do it, me going, all right, I'm with you, Lord, do what you're going to do. And then, lo and behold, because he is with us, he will see those things through right along with you. Right? Can everybody here at least testify to one time this past year that happened, that God has done something that you could not have done on your own? I know I can testify for some people's testimonies I've heard personally. Look at the thing with your house situation. That's glory to God, amen. He freed up your finances. And you were doing a whole bunch of plans and thoughts of how you were going to go and do it. And then God just said, hey, how about this? And you're like, okay. Because he's with you, amen. Because he's with you. He is not distant. Hear me. He is not far from you. He is not a God who is far away that you need to call collect to get him and hope that you break that fourth wall so that you can actually get through the call log. Like, you know, the caller, we're looking for caller number 7. Caller number 7. Look, I won that contest, okay? My brother's really mad at me because I didn't take him with me, but I have to take my wife. So it had to be. I'm sorry, brother. I love you. But I won that contest. I don't know how many people have ever done those call contests. It was, they were giving away Trans-Siberian Orchestra tickets, and I called, and I actually won to go to a concert. 2 tickets for free. And the same year, I also won 2 tickets to go see a Flyer. So God was blessing me that year. And all I had to do was pick up the phone and hit the number and, yeah, your caller number, whatever. I'm like, oh, that's actually a thing? I didn't think that ever happened. I was like, it's always somebody else. It's not me. But God can do awesome things, but you do not have to wait for your turn to break through that call line to get in to have that time with God. Cause he's with you. Right now. He's right now with you. When you leave here and you go home or you go to do whatever you're doing, he's with you. He is not far from you. And this is the reassurance to what Jesus was promising here at the Great Commission. He can give you a commission that says, go and preach this gospel message, raising up disciples in foreign nations, laying on hands, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why can he do that? Because he knew that the moment he was out, every single one of you have him with you. So the commission is not something that you have to go do in your strength. He's with you and he will do it through you, through your obedience. Amen? So he's not giving you a task you can't do. I mean, he is, but he's not. He's giving you a task that you can do because he's with you. Now here's what's awesome about God. I love that God goes, okay, Pastor, I hear what you're saying. I get it. Thanks. Good word. But, however, ... That's just, you know, the one time. That's just the one time. How do I know that's going to apply to me? I need a little bit more reassurance. God goes, cool. Got this covered. Let's go all the way back to Exodus. Back to Exodus? Wait, before Jesus? I mean, you guys got your messages wrong. He was in the beginning and at the end, amen? So he was there at this time when this was going down. Don't know if y'all are aware, but in Exodus 3, we're back up. Woohoo! Amen. Praise God. We're back up. So Exodus 3, verses 11 through 12, God does something awesome. Did anybody know, by the way, if you go through like the entire Old Testament, it's just nothing but God doing awesome things? And it really is. It's just testimony after testimony of God doing awesome things. But in Exodus, we're talking about one of my favorite characters of the Bible, Moses. Okay? I just do. My heart weeps for Moses. I love Moses. But Moses says to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" I love this. If you want to identify at any point with your physical self and your relationship to God, read this chapter verse. Just read it and just allow it to just penetrate deep into your heart. I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so God said, "I will certainly be with you." Oh wow, that's pretty cool. "And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you." This is awesome. "When you have brought the people out of Egypt." So, I want you all to just dissect this with me real quick. Go along with me. This is cool. Is it not cool? Right? God's awesome. Right? "That you shall serve God on this mountain." So, God tells Moses, "Hey, by the way, I got a job for you. You're the guy for the job. What you're going to do is you're going to march your little behind up into Egypt. You're going to go right up to the king, Pharaoh, right? And you're going to tell him, hey..." Now, I love it. He didn't tell him exactly what to say, but we know how, like, God will, like, have the words for you when you're there. So, you know, this iconic moment that is now etched in cinematography history because of one really awesome actor. "Let my people go." You know, he goes in there and he just goes, "Hey, yeah, dude, yeah, I'm a Jew. These are Jews." Now, mind you, all the Jews that were there in Pharaoh's ploy, does anybody know what they were doing? They were slaves, but they were not just slaves. They were the workers. They were the guys who were doing the farm work, doing the mill work, doing all the hard work, making Pharaoh's kingdom thrive and grow and go and do the things it was doing. And Moses has the audacity to go up in there and be like, hey, buddy. So all these guys, they're the same lineage as me. You're just going to let them go. Cool. Good talk. And God said to Moses, "Fear not, for I am with you. And here is the sign that after you go up there and you get right in Pharaoh's face and you say, 'Hey, buddy, let them all go. All right, I'm going to walk out of here. I'm going to take all my people with me. We're going to be out. We're not coming back. Cool.' And then I'll know that, God, you were with me the entire time, because when that happens, I'm going to be back at this mountain worshiping you with the people that you told me I was going to take." Now, I want to point that out for a moment, because we all have the revisionist history because we know how this plays out. Now, was it all as simple as that? No. But how many people would read that and not knowing the next chapter and how it would all unfold? That God said he was with him. And that he was going to go and ask Pharaoh, and Pharaoh, what did everybody, I mean, if you didn't read the next chapters and you didn't know how it was all going to unfold, would you have thought, well, God's just going to move on Pharaoh's heart and he's just going to let him go? And Moses would just say, "Hey, Pharaoh, come here. Can you just take the people? We're just going to get out of here. We're not going to be a hassle." And Pharaoh would just go, "Sure, no problem. Moses, you got it. Because we're good. So, no problem. I'm sorry." And then just let it all go. Well, could God have done that? Sure could have. But what did he do to Pharaoh's heart? He hardened his heart. Well, that wasn't going to be the outcome now, was it? Now Moses is going in there going, well, he's not going to let them go. God, what do you want to do? Now, was God ever not with Moses during the entire process? We all now know what happens, right? So all the plagues, all the things that happen, obviously the death of the firstborn, Moses is sitting there just following along with everything God's saying. And we have the entire Feast of the Passover because of what happened, right? knowing that they passed over because of the blood of the lamb on the post. So now we know this is all what happened. But here's the thing. Moses is just simply, because God is with him, going through every single step, going, what now? What now? What now? What now? Okay, what now? I know nobody can see me online, but I'm taking steps every time I say what now. Because that's what Moses had to do, because God was with him, but God was only giving him the next step. Why do you think he was only giving him the next step? Because if he told him the whole plan, Moses would have been like, not for me. Because I don't know if y'all know about Moses, but Moses was very, very much self-deprecating. He always thought very low of himself and what he could accomplish. But God thought very much of Moses and how much he could accomplish. Now take a step and go through and read that now. And instead of Moses and Pharaoh, put yourself and whatever thing it is that God has set up for you next in your life. And realize that whatever that thing is, whatever that breakthrough is, whatever that next mountain that you're going to have to climb is, God's with you. You have no idea how you're going to get it done, but he's not looking for you to know the entire plan ahead. Man plans, but God brings it to pass. Just because you make the plan doesn't mean he's going to do it your way. He loves your plan, but he's going to go, yeah, that's not going to help you here. That's not going to help you here. We're going to go this way, but we're still going to get to that goal. Amen? And here we have a perfect example of how God with us, before Jesus Emmanuel born, God with Moses went and accomplished that which God said he would do, because he told him, you will know I was with you the entire time because you will be with my people worshiping me on this mountain. And we know, if we go ahead and read further, is that not indeed what happens? That's exactly what happens. Which leads me to my next example of the Bible. The dude that was with Moses at this mountain, worshiping God. You have Aaron. And you have Aaron, who now stands at the same point with Moses, worshiping God at the foot of the mountain. And God does similar things with Aaron. Was God with Aaron? And what did that produce? How awesome is God? Right? Yeah, the golden calf. Well, that one wasn't a great one. But here's really cool things that I want to point out about this before we go on to the next verse, because I don't want to go on, I don't want to go too far ahead of myself, right? One of the things that I think is really awesome about this also is a question that I get asked a lot. And I'll bring it here through this example in Moses. Why did God need Moses? Did God need Moses to do what he had done? God could have just blinded Pharaoh, brought a plague upon him, put confusion amongst the people in Egypt, and the Jews could have just under the cloak of night. They'd wake up in the morning as though something had happened and the Jews be gone. And they would be like, what happened? And the Jews would probably be all like, God set us free. Amen. Do you think that would have happened? Do you think that would have happened? I'm going to highlight something that you maybe don't know, but you read your Bible more, you would know. That whole generation of people that were in Egypt that Moses helped get out, guess what they never made it to? You want to know why? Because they wanted to go back to Egypt. It was better there. So would they really left if God had opened the gates and let them out? Now I'm not trying to play hypotheticals with the Bible, but I want to point out something that maybe you haven't thought about when it comes to you and your walk and your life in the Lord. You might be standing at an impasse going, why does God need me? Why did God need Moses? Because, here's the answer. You represent the path to God and the accessibility that each and every single person who you are encountering along the way has that same access. Moses being there with the people, leading them, he wasn't leading them to himself, he was leading them to God. He was showing and testifying about God is doing this. God is the one who is doing this. He is opening up the doors for you. He will bring you back to your home. He is promising you something greater and better. You just need to follow me as I follow. Do you see that? Do you see that right here? Now, mind you, you might be like, well, Jesus wasn't here. Moses was following God and following Christ in this very moment. No different. No different. Exactly the same as Paul. How awesome. And that's what we are encouraged to do, right? And then that transpires to the outlet that God is not just one entity that only comes and he's with me, Moses, but God comes and he imparted himself to others as well, which, like we just testified about Aaron. Another example of that, another one of my favorite little, like, subject stories is Samuel and that encounter with Eli. I love that little bit. That's a fantastic bit. If you're ever wondering, when your kids are learning about hearing God, how great of a tell is that? When they're hearing God for the first time and you have to turn around and tell them, oh, no, no, no. You're actually hearing from the Lord. That's the Lord's voice. Listen and hear what he's saying. Because he's with you. Because when your kids commit their life to Jesus Christ, Jesus doesn't go, well, you're a kid, you don't understand yet. Jesus goes, no, I'm in that heart. I'm with your child. I will train them. I will lead them. I will guide them. They're still in your care. You still have a job to do. That doesn't abscond you as a parent. But you need to foster that growth in that voice that's being learned and told to hear what Jesus is saying. But God's establishing a pattern. And so the next part I want to share with you comes out of Joshua. This is just the first chapter of Joshua, which is also, again, I find completely awesome because God is good. Amen? I know you have a certain little heart for Joshua because, after all, you named your son. So, a little bit. But Joshua, first chapter, verses 5 through 9. And again, hear what the Lord's saying and see if you can hear the pattern. No man shall be able to stand before you all of the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Huh. Seems like very much God was establishing a pattern, right? That's the set point of an established pattern. Exactly as I was with this individual, I also will be with you. Which means you can build all of the expectations of how this will go based off of your predecessor. Now, hold your horses, because this gets bumpy. I don't know if you read Joshua. You should read it to completion. And you will understand what God is saying, though it's not identical to what he said to Moses. He's still with Joshua. But listen to the command God's giving, because it's not the same. Amen? Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I want to point out, God told him not once, but twice, to be what? Strong and of good courage. He also gave him a bunch of other promises in there about prosperity and being prosperous and all these other things. But God specifically told him this. Now, here's the funny thing. If you didn't read any other part of Joshua, and that was the only part, you read that chapter only, you're thinking, well, Joshua is going to lead the people to the promised land, the God that promised all of Israel would receive. So it's just sitting out there, and Joshua just has to go out there with a flag and go, I claim this land in the name of Israel. And they show up and they go, you can't claim us. We already live here. And he goes, do you have a flag? No flag, no country. I love quoting that line. It's a great bit. Now, if you read all of Joshua, you find out that's not how it goes down. Because Joshua goes to the land that God promised and realizes in every single place God had told him, hey, by the way, that land's yours. There's somebody there. And not only are they there, but they are really, really much bigger, stronger, faster, and equipped to deal with them in the art of combat. So now you understand why God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous and do not fear. Because you have to lead my people into battle. He didn't say that part. But you are going to find out when you read more of Joshua that that is exactly what he had to do. And not just lead them into battle, but lead them into battle that they're going to look at the competitors and go, we ain't got a shot. Well, thank God for two that came back and gave a positive report and said, what did they say? What did they say? Who read their Bible? Right? The other 10 said, not good, but the two said, we can take them because God is with us. See, you get the pattern. You get the pattern when you see it more and more. God has not left you as an orphan. He has not left you without the ability and the capability to fulfill the things He has promised and commanded you to walk into. Because He is with you, and He will always be with you, and He will always accomplish that which He has set forth to do. He wants to just include you in it, because you are an example for the people to observe. That's why Moses was needed. That's why Joshua is needed. That's why Jesus was needed. That is why we are needed. We are needed for others to observe the manifest presence of God with us, Emmanuel, doing the impossible before us. Because if we can do it in our strength, we don't need God. We're living up to the expectations they already do on a daily. They make their own way everywhere they go. But they can't do what you can do. They can't accomplish what you can accomplish. Because the things that God does with you and through you can't be done by mere man's might. You cannot take down a Goliath with a sling and a stone in the world. But with God, all things are possible. So real quick recap here on Joshua, right? Joshua also represents God's continuation of being with us from generation to generation. That God pours out His Spirit upon the generations, not just with you. Furthermore, right, Joshua is given as given the example of Moses as a testimony of God's faithfulness that he witnessed through Moses to know that God will do that which what he said. So he had a faith boost from watching Moses and knowing, hey, God did that with him. Surely God will do the same with me. Now, did he know the full spectrum of all the things God would do with him? Nope. He got there, saw, looked, and said, huh, that's the place, God? Yep. Go take it. Sure. Walked in, bam. My favorite one, Jericho. How'd that one accomplish? They took down an entire city with worship. With worship. Walls came crashing down. You cannot say that is because their weapons were stronger and more powerful. They were, but not the weapons that they were expecting to come in. Because God's weapons are mightier than any weapon that you could forge. Amen? So when God starts telling Joshua about his need for courage and his need to obey the commands of God, he could use the testimony of Moses to showcase that God will do something to provide himself with the courage he needed. Think about that. God said, be strong and of good courage. That in that, God was also going to provide him with the strength and the courage needed to be able to do the things that he needed to do. Because it's not because of Joshua's strength and Joshua's courage that he was able to lead the people into battle. Amen? It's because the people saw God was with Joshua and encouraging him and in strengthening him for every time they would come into battle. With the exception of the one time. Which is the one that generally every single person believes and holds on to when they mess up. And the reason that happened was because in that person's example, Achan, he was not looking to Joshua and the example that God was with him to do everything. He thought he had to make provision for himself and that God would not provide. And what is that? That's putting him with the way of the world. And the consequences for that was God swallowed them all up. And that was an unfortunate event. But did they lose that battle? Sure did. But did they win in the end? Sure did. Because God was still with them. I want to point that part out very specifically for one particular reason. Because how many times you suffer defeat, you think God's no longer with you. Just because you fell down and scuffed your knee, God did not go, well, I tried. Moving on, next time, we'll try with you now. No. He picks you back up. He scrubs your knees off. He dresses you back up in your finest armor and goes, don't worry, you'll get them this time. Just remember, I'm with you. You're trying to do it in your own strength. Don't. Let me. I got this for you. And this is the point that God was with Joshua through every single ordeal, every single battle, every single confrontation, and in every aspect that God told him from the beginning to be strong and of good courage. The reason for it was because he needed him to be strong and of good courage through God with him, in him, manifesting the strength and courage he needed to exemplify God's strength in being able to endure all of the battles and the hardships that they would follow. And because of his faithfulness and belief that God would do it, did they not take the land? Glory to God, amen. This leads us to the back of the book. Revelations. Why are we going here, Pastor? Well, because my God is not just the God of right now, and the God of Moses, and the God of Joshua and Isaac, and the God of everyone else in the Old Testament. Pull them out. You can even go with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, right? Because was not God with them in the furnace? Amen? Great examples. I love it. God set a good pattern for you. Amen? He knows that you need this because it's literally from beginning to end an illustration of how never, ever, since the dawn of creation, not been with his creation. And he will continue to be with his creation. And here's where you find it. Revelation 22, the very end of the Bible, 12 through 14. And behold, and this is Jesus, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. How many people look forward to that wonderful and glorious day? Now, I am saying this to say to you, because you will read this verse, and you will think to yourself, what do I have to do to make sure I am not excluded from that very moment? I want to tell you that you need to put your faith in the God who saves and has given his life up for you and continues to work in you to every detail the ability to obey all that he commands, because lo, I am with you. Jesus said, amen. He has not left you or abandoned you. He's with you. So everything that he's going to command to you and give to you to obey, he is going to be with you. Well, Pastor, how do you know? Let's go back. Adam and Eve, Moses, Aaron, Joshua, Abraham, Isaac. Can we keep going? Do I have to go through every single book of the Old Testament? All of the kings. All of the prophets. Do I have to continue? Is it necessary for you to get the picture to understand that God is with you and will absolutely do what he says he will do? He is not giving you a command that you cannot accomplish. You won't accomplish it apart from him. You will accomplish it with him. And as long as you know that God is with you, and he has not left you at any point in this journey, that the commands that will see you in this very moment standing before the gates of heaven and being welcomed in as a good and faithful servant isn't because of what you could do. It's because of faith in him that can do it through you. This is the encouragement, church, because this year, God has purposed and planned for us to move, to not continue to stay put. He is going to tell you to move into new things. He's going to tell you to go into new territory. He's going to tell you to go take this city. He's going to tell you to go take this land, and you can't do it apart from him. So the encouraging word for today is, guess what? He's with you. You don't have to go search for him. You don't have to go play hide and seek. You don't have to try and find him. And yeah, if you need the encouragement, go find more of it in his word. I just told you, from beginning to end, you will not find one part of the Bible where he is not with them. Even in Judges. They're busy crying for a king. God still was with them. God is with you. I'm telling you, isn't it awesome? Isn't it amazing? I challenge you, church. Gain more encouragement from God's word for this year, because the plans that he has for you, the plans to prosper you and not to harm you, that prosperity, those plans, those things God's building for you in your life and for this year, they're not going to come to fruition. They're not going to happen. You're not going to move if you're going to continue to try and do it in your own strength. Now, I know you've heard that message 1,000 times. That's true. But here's the encouraging part to get you out of that rut. You have to stop thinking that you got a lot of work to do. Your only step you have to do is believe and trust that because God is with you, that which he wants you to do and has given you a command to do, he is also going to prepare you, strengthen you, and give you everything you need to accomplish it. And all you need to say is what? Yes, Lord. So let our marching order start with an obedience to that very command of, I will make my yeses yes and my amens amens, and yes and amen in everything that we say that we're going to do in the Lord, that we do it. Amen? Let's make that commitment today. And let us be encouraged by the fact that he will do it, because he is awesome and mighty, and he has purposed it in you and each and every one of you through his son. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you for your encouraging words, and I thank you that you, God, can cancel out every doubt, every worry, every concern through the encouragement of the patterns that you set before us, that we can hold on to your word as a tool to increase our faith and our trust in knowing you, knowing how faithful, how true, and how honest you are, God, with us. That you've given us testimony and testimony, example and example, God, time and time again, through your word, to lead us and show us how you, God, will accomplish it. You will do it. You will complete it. You will see it to fruition. All you are looking for us is to be that example for others so they can observe what that faithfulness looks like, what that obedience looks like, and watch you do great things. Watch you do wonderful and miraculous things through your people, God, as they are in line and in sync with your word. I thank you, God, for your correction. I thank you, God, for your judgment. I thank you, God, that you want us to be in the right place at the right time and in right standing with you so that you, God, are seen and you, God, are witnessed to and you, God, are viewed through the observing aspect of us just welcoming you into all that you want to do and accomplish through us as we obey your word and your command. I'm encouraged by this house. I'm encouraged by the faith in it, God, and I am looking forward to seeing the mountains they will move this year in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.